Ready?
Go. Hey everyone, it's Heather Whaley.
Hey, oh, Frank Whaley, today, the junk man.
Yeah, that's right, the junk man. Junk man's back in town. Today's Wednesday, February 10th.
Junk man never left. Right. Junk man didn't go nowhere. Junk man's here.
Right, but yesterday you didn't say you were the junk man. You just said Frank Whaley.
Junk man's a feeling. The junk man's a feeling.
Describe that feeling for me. Like what kind of a feeling? An itchy feeling? Like a physical feeling or an emotional?
Here it is.
Okay, that was actually like, that was good. I enjoyed that. I'd say I enjoyed that. Like you could go.
Well, you don't enjoy when I do that during the middle of the night.
No, I don't. But you that sound you just made could go one of two ways.
Some
it could
people
sound
snore.
Like you're like pooping, like a big poop.
I don't know what kind of what that you're, was like, I don't know what kind of pooping you're doing.
Like that you were having like a near accident and finally made it to the toilet. Or that could be like, oh, what a long day and I'm finally sitting down.
I got two things to say about that. First of all, I have a tendency to groan and moan at night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have incredible anxiety and stress always. And I think that has something to do with the fact that I'm like, groaning.
Yes.
like a ghost all night. And I can't remember if it was last night or the night before last, you slapped the side of my head so hard.
No, I did
not. Yeah, you did.
I did not. I did not. This is the thing that you do. So I've noticed if I'm
You
snoring,
slap me like George Foreman.
You
like,
get so mad if I touch you or just even gently nudge you. You're like, why are you doing that?
Listen,
and
you
and
knock
I've
me upside my head so hard.
What you do if I'm snoring, you just whack me on the shoulder.
No, no.
You just
I gently pull,
no,
tug at your pillow.
You whack me.
You slapped me in the temple.
I did not
with
even
the back
touch
of your
head.
Hand.
No, not, I didn't even touch your head.
And then you pretended you were sound asleep when because you hit me so hard that I immediately woke up before you even retracted your hand.
Oh well, maybe I was sleeping. I don't remember hitting
you. You weren't
in the head.
Sleeping. You were awake, and then what I'm saying is I woke up so quickly. I caught you in the act, and then you were like,
"No, sleeping, nonsense."
And then I got up, relieved myself, went pee pee. I came back, and I just thought, you know what, I'm just too tired and stressed out. I went to bed, and I just tried. Actually, I went into the other room and slept in a different room.
You did?
Of our palatial mansion.
No, see, I was totally unaware of that. I think I did. I must have hit you in the head while I was sleeping because I have no recollection of any of that. The other night I did, I tapped on your shoulder because I noticed that's what you've been doing to me. Like you get very upset if I go, hey, Frank.
You didn't tap me on
like
the shoulder. You slapped me upside. You slapped me silly, as my father used to say. Slapped me silly. The other thing I was thinking about, that groaning, when you said it sounds like somebody defecating.
Mm-hmm.
That brought me back to years and years ago. I was invited to do a screenplay reading of a film script. I remember Robert Benton was the director. It's a Paul Newman film. Maybe Nobody's Fool. It's called. I don't know. I didn't.
That was written by my creative writing professor in college, Rick Russo, wrote Nobody's Fool, and I believe it was. Yeah.
No consequence to this story. No, absolutely no consequence. Unless, what's his name? Rick Russo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Richard Russo.
Richard Russo.
The author.
Anyway, my story goes, it's about pooping.
Mm-hmm.
About defecating. And Paul Newman, we all took a break from the thing. And I was so excited to be sitting in the same room with Paul Newman. Because he's always been one of my favorite actors. Cool,
handsome, handsome, even in his old age.
The most handsome.
Mm-hmm.
And just a great guy. Hole in the Wall Gang, right?
Yeah, I love theater.
The dressing for charity.
Popcorn.
All that stuff. And
loved his wife.
Joanne Woodward.
They lived in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. They started that amazing theater in Westport. What's that place called?
They didn't start it. They took it over. The Westport Country Playhouse.
I think they ran it for many years.
They did.
And she's still alive.
Yeah, I think that it's still their organization that's running it. I think she is. Well, I know that she is no longer involved in the running of it.
Let me get to the point.
Yeah.
So on the break, we were doing this reading in a kind of an office setting, and I went into the bathroom and I was just standing there at the urinal. Urinal. I just realized that that's...
It's a weird word.
Yeah. Anyway, I was standing there and somebody was in the stall, and I sensed immediately that someone was in the stall next to me. And I don't know if most men are like this, but when somebody... And if anyone else is in the room, it's hard for me to go to the bathroom. If I think anyone else is listening...
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't come out.
Okay.
It's like, I don't understand how you can... I don't understand how it works that you can almost will the urine to come out or not to come out. There's a muscle that you have that you can stop the urine from coming out. I mean, it's crazy.
Of course. Otherwise, you'd be peeing in your pants all the time.
But sometimes, even if you're relaxing that muscle, the urine doesn't come out.
Right.
Then it becomes the psychological.
Right.
So anyway, somebody is in the stall next to me, and this is what I hear. And then I hear the
plop, the splash.
I hear the defecation.
Hit the bowl.
Take the dive. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, was it a thunk, a thunk, like a big one, or was it like a splashing?
It wasn't what I would consider a satisfying. Tool. You know, at one point I heard that you need to. I remember where I was when I heard this. I was listening. I was in a car on the way to work, early one morning. I was listening to NPR and I was listening to this doctor or scientist talk about the importance of
elimination,
a daily elimination.
That's how long we've been married. I knew exactly the word you were looking for.
You need to eliminate every day, and in the way the man described how the elimination should go, I've always been loyal to that philosophy. Anyway, this was not a it didn't sound like a healthy elimination, but a lot of that groaning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I said, I couldn't pee, but I was stuck at this urinal, and I wanted to get out of there because I had to pee. I really had to pee. I was sitting at that table read for an hour, and I've always had a very small bladder,
mm-hmm.
which does not associate with penis size.
Right.
All. Anyway, I don't need to say that. I know. Anyway. I don't want to face this person who I've listened to defecate. I just want to get out of here, but I couldn't get the pee out. And lo and behold, I hear the pants going up and the belt tightening, and then the door opens and God damn it, it's Paul Newman.
Oh my God.
And Paul Newman crosses behind me, and this is a small office bathroom, and the sink is right there on the urinal, and there Paul Newman is scrubbing his hands, and I'm staring straight ahead at the urinal, top, and I finally I can sense that Paul Newman's looking at me as he washes his hands, and I kind of look at him, and he says, "Hey, going pretty good out there, huh?" Something that like that, and I just said, "Yeah."
Some people are very comfortable with pooping.
He might have said something about, I don't remember what he said. I just blacked it out because that was like, other than the initial greeting I had with Paul Newman when I walked into the room to do this reading, that was my conversation with Paul Newman as he washed his hands, the billowing odor of his
elimination
still in the air.
Some people don't keep that part of their lives private at all. I had a date with someone once. We went out for Thai food, and then afterwards he was like, "We got to stop by my apartment real quick." And I was like, okay, we were supposed to go see some band play. And we go into his apartment, and he's like, he had to poop really bad from the Thai food. And he left the door open. He was down the hall, and he left the door open and was like leaning over so he could see me. I was like down the hallway in the living room, and he could keep talking to me while he was on the toilet. And this is a first date. And I was just like, this has never happened to me before. Like, I mean, some people just do it all out in the open.
You, like I've always said, you know how to pick them. Next, you're going to tell me his name was Paul Newman.
No, it was Gene Hackman.
I hate snow. I come from upstate New York, Syracuse, otherwise known as Sorry Case.
You don't like the snow because always snows in Syracuse.
I grew up. That's why I'm getting so, like, I'm just so downtrodden, man. It's just been snow and cold and darkness and dreary, and I can't get a goddamn hall pass out of this house, Heather. Not that I don't want to be away from you. I want to be with you always. But I've always hated the snow and the winter and you know, being cooped up.
We're getting more snow tonight, you know.
Are you sure?
I think so. It seems like it's always snowing here now.
Well, all this leads me to a sledding accident. I don't know if you've heard. It was actually in upstate New York. And it's an awful story. This 16-year-old girl was sledding with her 3-year-old, I think it might have been her brother.
Oh, no.
And I don't know if they don't say if it was her. She was sledding with a 3-year-old boy. Maybe she was, you know, friend or relation. I don't know. But they struck a tree at the bottom of the hill. And this poor kid died. And the reason I mention this is because I am always, like, you love winter sports.
I grew up skiing. I like to ski and snowboard. Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. I like to shred it up.
And, you know, it might be a class thing. I don't know.
For sure.
You know, I went skiing. Skiing costs money. You got to have the equipment.
Absolutely.
And so forth. We used to go sledding a lot when we were kids. But you could sled. You could, you know, get one of those saucers, the sledding saucers for, you know, a couple of dollars. But I went skiing once on a trip, school trip. My school was always taking, you know, skiing trips.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had the proper gear.
Yeah, and if you don't have like the parka and the pants and the gloves and the hat and the goggles, it's not fun.
I had a CPO jacket. You know what that is?
Is it from like the Army Navy store?
Yeah, I don't even know where it came from, but that was my winter jacket.
I bet you were wearing jeans too, weren't you?
I was wearing jeans and Chuck Taylors.
God.
And everybody else had their puffy jackets and their, you know, their special gear.
Mm-hmm.
I only went because I had just the most debilitating crush on this girl, and I heard she was going, and I had to get the money together because you had to pay for the trip for the bus, and then you had to pay for the ski rental.
Did you get to at least hook up with the girl?
Are you crazy?
No. She saw you skiing in jeans. I could have told you.
She wouldn't have had any. I could have been.
You do not ever want to ski in jeans. That's like the worst.
I could have been, who's the greatest skier of all time?
I don't know the name of a skier.
I could have been the greatest. I could have been, you know, Franz Kirkland, whatever his name is. Who knows?
What?
I don't know. But
the Flying Tomato. You could have been that guy.
She wouldn't have touched. She wouldn't have come near me, this girl. I loved her so much. Anyway.
Well, you know, that story about that girl makes me think of this story that it haunts my nightmares, which is there's a ski resort in Russia, I think, and they had at the top of this lift a ride you could take, and it's sort of like a sledding hill at the top of the lift, and you would get inside this inflatable plastic ball. So there's like a little chamber that you get inside, and they roll you down this track. So you're looking out, and you're seeing this, you know, as you're going down this track, and you're rolling in this big sort of insulated plastic ball. And a gust of wind came and blew this ball with people inside off the track and over the side of the mountain, where it plummeted down a cliff, like a massive cliff. And I just thought of those people in that bubble, what they would have seen And I've never been able to get it out of my head. And now I have gifted that to you. That's my gift to you, that you have to think
of
that.
How far did they fall?
It was, I mean, they were dead. They were killed. It was like a cliff.
This was a video you saw?
I saw a video taken of them going off on the track, and then the gust of wind comes, and you see it just disappear over the side.
Oh, my God. What a useless way to die. It's like, you know, going down a hill, you know, and hitting a tree. Or Sonny Bono, who was on the skis and hit a tree.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
It's just silly. Who needs it? Who needs to go that way?
Super fun, though. Shred it up.
It's not super fun. It's cold. It's cold, yeah, and it's dangerous.
I've gotten frostbite.
Yeah, last time you went skiing, as I recall, you broke your coccyx.
I was snowboarding. I did break my tailbone in snowboarding.
Your precious tailbone.
What?
Your tail feather. That's my favorite part of your body. Your tail feather.
God.
I remember the last real risk I took was I went snowmobiling at Sundance and nearly went over a cliff.
That's scary. That would be fun, though, snowmobiling. But
it wasn't fun at all. It was horrifying and scary. Jason Blum just saved my life.
He did?
Well, I was teetering on the cliff, and he was behind me, and he jumped off and grabbed the back of the snowmobile.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That would have been a really crazy way. Like, you know that guy Frank Whaley? He died in a snowmobile accident. Because it's like, if you heard somebody died in a snowmobile accident, you would just assume, well, they must go snowmobiling all the time.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be like, no, this was the one and only time he went.
People would think I was a real daredevil. Yeah. But I don't think of Sonny Bono as being hipper or cool because he hit a tree. I think of him being an idiot. So if I think, not an idiot, I mean, you know, it's just like, but what's the point of dying that way? So if I'm reading about Frank Whaley goes over the, you know, middling, some used to be sometimes celebrity Frank Whaley died today after his snowmobile went over a cliff in Park City, Utah. I would think guy probably was riding around in a snowmobile and a CPO jacket and jeans, not knowing how to drive a snowmobile.
Pockets full of like little bottles of Jägermeister. That's what I think of, like people who ride on snowmobiles have like little stash, those little bottles of, you know, booze, those little ones.
I probably had vials of, I don't even know.
Or they have those things that are like a pouch that has like a skin on the outside that people put booze in. You know those ones?
That's a toque.
What?
It's called the toque.
Oh,
that's what I was talking about
in
episode who knows what. Remember?
Yeah.
I said a toque, and you said, "What's a toque, Frank? You idiot."
Okay. Now we've brought it all full circle.
Yep. That's all, folks.
Okay. Well, I am going to wrap this up because the impeachment trial is happening, and they're going to be coming back from their dinner break at any moment, and I am riveted by what I'm hearing.
Insurrection eyes, you got me. What's that song?
Betty Davis.
Temptation
eyes.
Oh. Insurrection eyes, you got me.